How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love to me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the
this morning to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. There are some favorite passages in the scripture that are very familiar to us, and if we're not careful, we'll allow familiarity to keep us from preaching the truth presented in those scriptures. And we don't want to be guilty of that. Thank you, Brother Shaddocks, for that song. And let me tell you, if you're saved, you ought to be glorifying God. You ought to be thanking Him. You ought to be rejoicing in Him. We have not really got a clear understanding that all it costs God to save us and all that we have received in that salvation. If we did, we wouldn't live the way we do. If we did have the understanding of what God has done for us, we'd be praising Him and thanking Him and rejoicing and shouting because of His great love and sacrifice that purchased our redemption. If you found your place in John chapter 3, stand. I want to speak to you on this subject this morning, the terrible condemnation of sinners. The terrible condemnation of sinners. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now skip down to verse 36, same chapter. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I want to speak, as I said, on the terrible condemnation of sinners. Father, give me liberty and power to bring the message. Help me to speak clearly. Help my thoughts to follow one after the other to present a clear understanding of this truth. And help us to understand that Jesus died to save us, so that we would not have to experience in this life and the life to come the terrible condemnation of sinners. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, he says, because we were already condemned because of our sin. Jesus came for the purpose of saving us from the terrible condemnation of sinners. Speak to our hearts this morning. Save every individual that's here today and does not know for certain that they're saved. Save every religious person that's pretending they're saved, but know they're not. God, I pray that not one person will walk out of this building today without feeling the work of the Holy Spirit in their heart, in their life. I plead the blood of Jesus over this service. And I ask, O Holy Spirit of God, that you come down and do your work as only you can do it. Don't leave one of us untouched. We'll thank you for those who hear, believe, and receive Jesus as Savior and have the promise of everlasting life. God help those that refuse to accept Christ. We don't have to shake our fist in his face and say, I reject him. But we reject him when we, even with good intentions, put him off even one more day. Speak to our hearts and we'll thank you for what you shall do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm amazed at little sayings that get all turned around and misrepresent truth. For instance, it is a good saying that God hates our sin and loves sinners. God loved us so much, he died for us while we were yet sinners. That saying is true. But so often we look at that saying and act like that God's not displeased with sinners or sin. And I want to say to you today that there is a terrible condemnation awaiting sinners. Now there's only two kinds of people here today: those who are saved sinners and those who are sinners that have not been saved. The saved have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and have been delivered from condemnation. The unsaved are condemned already, and they're under the wrath of God because they have not believed upon Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And it's important to note that the condemnation of God is not merely against sin. It's against the sinner as well. The act of sin cannot be held accountable and punished. It is the sinner that's held accountable before God and faces the judgment and the wrath of God for his sin. For instance, the act of murder is not found guilty and punished. It is the murderer that's found guilty and punished. Rape is not found guilty and punished. It's the rapist that's guilty of committing this heinous crime and is punished. So likewise, the condemnation of God against the sinner is against the sinner. It's against the person that's committed sin. We'll let our mind play tricks on us, and it's the devil that puts these thoughts in our mind that I'm a sinner and God loves me and I'm going to be all right just going ahead and living in my sin. No, you're under condemnation. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says you don't have to wait until you stand before God to find out if you're under condemnation because you've not accepted Jesus. You're already condemned, the Bible says. And the wrath of God abideth on you. Now, let us look at the word condemned and condemnation. When something or someone is condemned, an act of judgment is brought against the thing or the person that's condemned. When a person is condemned by law, he has been examined and found guilty of a crime and he faces punishment. When a building is condemned, it too has been examined and has been found uninhabitable and it's worthless, it's unsafe, it's condemned. Now, when a person is condemned by God, he's been examined and found guilty and is worthless in his present condition in the sight of God. The Bible says if we have not been saved, if we have not received Jesus as our Savior, we are condemned already. We've already been found guilty and worthless as we are in our sin in the sight of God. It's important you understand that. When a building has been condemned, one of two things must happen. It must be destroyed or it must be completely renovated before it can be used. When a person is condemned by God, one of two things must happen. He must be destroyed in judgment in hell forever, or he must be completely renovated. He must be born again and made anew by Jesus Christ. Now I want to point out three thoughts about condemnation as seen in Scripture pertaining to sinners today, to us. Number one, condemnation by God is brought about as a result of not accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. God does not have to examine us to see if we're sinners. The Bible hath concluded all under sin. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not a person in here that's not a sinner. You are a sinner two ways. You're a sinner because you have that sin nature from Adam. Secondly, you're a sinner because when you got old enough to make a decision to do right or wrong, you chose to do wrong. We are sinners. And our sin has separated us from God, and we are condemned already in the sight of God because we're all sinners. Now, God's made provision that that sin be paid for. He's made provision that the sinner might be made anew by the new birth. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away, all things become new. We are in Christ when we accept Jesus as Savior. Without Jesus as Savior, we're condemned already. We're lost. Now, condemnation is the result of not receiving Jesus Christ and You have not received Christ because you have rejected the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ because of your love for sin. Why do people turn away from Jesus? Why do sinners sin? Not only because it's their nature, but they love to. They want to. The flesh likes it. Our nature craves it. But God has given us the light of the glorious gospel that tells us Jesus loved us and died for us and paid our sin debt. He was buried and He rose again with salvation, new life to all who will accept Christ. Oh my soul, a condemned person on death row, if he has opportunity for a pardon, what a fool he would be to reject it. And you, if you are without Jesus Christ today, you're living spiritually on death row. You're condemned already because you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Don't turn away from the gospel. That's turning away from hope. That's turning away from forgiveness. Don't put off the gospel. Accept it. Can you imagine a man that's been in the desert for 3 days and 3 nights without water? Lips blistered and cracked. And someone comes along with a canteen of fresh, cool, pure water and says, "Buddy, let me give you a drink." And he says, "Not today. I believe I'll wait a little while." Well, you're starving for a drink of the gospel water, the water of life. Your life is parched by sin. You're dying. You're condemned already if you've not accepted Christ. Why would you turn away from Him? Why would you put Him off another day? Why would you reject Him another hour? The only reason people reject Jesus Christ is because they love their sin more than they fear judgment. You don't have an understanding of hell and judgment. You don't. There's no word that can paint hell as bad as it is. There's no picture that can paint the lake of fire of burning, tormenting sinners as bad as it is. There's no sound that can help us comprehend the cries and the pleads out of hell. These are people who played the fool and turned away from the Savior. They rejected the light. They loved their sin. They didn't accept Christ. Let me ask you this morning, what sin do you love so much today that you'd go to hell for? What sin do you love so much today you'd reject Jesus to hold on to it? Oh, my soul, our minds have been deluded because of sin. The sin that condemns one soul to hell is the sin of not believing in Jesus to be your Savior. Many believe that if they don't murder or rape or steal and do the best they can, they'll go to hell. That's not so. The Bible says we're all guilty and we're all condemned already. God's got attached to your soul, condemned, lost. You're just waiting for the last breath to experience the ultimate in the wrath of God against sinners. And that's eternity in the lake of fire. Forever and forever. Secondly, God's illustration of what it means to be condemned is set forth in the Scripture. Verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Oh, what a wonderful statement. It didn't say he that deserves it. It didn't say he that was good enough. It didn't say he that earned it. It didn't say he that was religious enough. It didn't say he that did enough good works. But the sinner that believes on the Son, that means with faith you put your trust and dependence on Jesus, you have everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You ought to look at that word, the wrath of God, the phrase, wrath of God abideth on him. May I say to you that God's judgment against sin and sinners, it's not just a one-minute affair. It's not annihilation. It's not throwing them in the lake of fire and poof, they burn up like a piece of paper. It's eternal judgment. It's forever judgment. The word abideth shows perpetual, continual action. The wrath of God abideth on him. God uses that word to let us know how horrible it is to be under the wrath of God. It abideth on him. It's continually on the unbeliever. And let me say to you, if you're unsaved, it's on you right now. It's God's judgment is against you right now. You're not getting a free pass. You live in sin, you live without Jesus, and you got to battle the devil and sin and the consequences of sin every day of your life. The way of the sinners is hard, the Bible says. The sin doesn't make you more beautiful or happier or better. Sin tears down, wrecks, ruins. And God's wrath abideth on you. You're already condemned. You're waiting for eternal judgment. Turn, if you will, over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Here we see the wrath of God poured out on sinners in verse number 6. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were cities of immorality, of perversion, of the worst forms of perversion. Sodomy gets its name because of Sodom and Gomorrah, the sin of sodomy. That permeated that place. God said, I'm going to judge it. I'm going to pour out my wrath on those cities. And the Bible says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So we have a Bible example of being condemned. Why God so completely poured out his judgment and wrath upon those cities, he erased them from the face of the earth. They think they know in a general area where they are today, but they don't know for sure. There's no evidence of the cities left. They think that perhaps in the area where the Dead Sea is the area where Sodom and Gomorrah was. But these cities were condemned by God and they were utterly destroyed by fire. The only thing different in that wrath and condemnation and the condemnation is against sinners is that God built you differently than they built cities. They built cities out of material that's going to perish. It's going to burn up and cease. Turn to ashes and back to dirt. God built you and me with an everlasting soul. He's going to give us a body with that soul prepared for either heaven or eternal damnation. So, preacher, this is hard. Why are you preaching hard? Trying to see some of you saved. Some of you delivered before God's wrath falls for the last time. We're told that God had made them an example of God's wrath upon those who are condemned. And if you're here today without Jesus, you'll look at that. What God did to that city, he's got worse waiting for those that are condemned already. You can read about it in Revelation 20, verse 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. They're brought up from the grave. Their body may be in a grave on the earth or in the sea, and their body is going to be called forth. Their soul is going to be called out of hell, and they're going to stand before God at the great white throne and be judged. And all of their ungodliness and their sin is against them. And guess what? God's not going to take lying and throw in the lake of fire. He's going to cast the liar in there. He's not going to cast murder in the lake of fire. He's going to cast the murderer. It's not the rape that's going to be cast in there. It's the rapist. And it's not just sin that's going to be cast in the lake of fire. It's the sinner. The sinner. Whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. They are condemned as worthless human beings. They've lived without God, and now they're dying without God, and they're going to be cast into hell without God forever and ever. You say, but preacher, that's awful. Yeah, let me tell you what's worse. God made you for God. God made you so God could live in you. God made you so God could have fellowship with Him and you could give Him the glory like Brother Bob sang about. But when you reject Jesus, you're choosing not to follow God, not to trust Him, not to live for Him, not to glorify Him. You're going to glorify sin and Satan, the author of sin. Oh, my soul. Person cast into the lake of fire is declared to be a worthless human being. He doesn't look at their bank account or their education. He looks to see if they've been born again, if they've accepted Christ as Savior. You see, they're condemned already, and something that's condemned has got to be destroyed or completely renovated. And the renovator, the builder of new lives, is Jesus Christ. And we must accept Him as Savior. Thirdly, there's only one way a lost sinner can escape the condemnation of God. And listen to me. When I say a lost sinner, I'm talking about everybody who's ever lived. Me, you, your husband, wife, your children. Hey, mamas and daddies, your children don't get a pass because they're born in your house. They've got to be born again. Some of you coddle them and pamper them and let them do things that you know is wrong. You're pushing them into sin and away from God. God forbid. There's only one way a lost sinner can escape condemnation from God. He must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for our sins and raised again for our justification. Only then can our sins be forgiven. John 3:17 says Jesus came into the world not to condemn it but to save us. The world was already condemned because of sin. Jesus came as the Savior, not the condemner. Our sins are crying out to God against us. We're already condemned. And we'll live under that condemnation until we accept Jesus as our Savior. We're already under that condemnation by God because of our sin and because we've not accepted Christ as Savior. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, very familiar passage. Romans chapter 5, look at verse number 12. Very familiar. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There's only one person that's ever lived that's not sinned, and that's Jesus. And He took our sin upon Himself and our sin upon Him, condemned Him to death in our place in order that we might have life everlasting. Look at verse number 16 in that same chapter. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. It's saying that Jesus paid for all our sin debt. He died for all of it so we could be completely saved, so we can be completely forgiven. Believing on Jesus as Savior delivers us from this condemnation. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Accepting Jesus as our Savior delivers us from the wrath of God. We don't have to worry about the judgment of God against us because our sin were judged in Jesus. Now, you've got one of two choices to make this morning. You can pay for your own sin if you want to. It'll take you a wasted life on earth and eternity in hell to do it. Or you can accept the one who paid for our sin debt so we could have life everlasting and live with him in heaven. I submit to you, that's the best opportunity and the most profitable opportunity you've ever had and will ever have to receive Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, what do I have to invest?" You give him all your sin, and he'll pay for every one of them. And he'll give you life everlasting, forgiveness of sin, name written in the book, a mansion in glory, a life worth living, and heaven to look forward to. Whew. The only thing I'll ever know about hell because of Jesus Christ is what I read about in the Bible. Though I deserve to go there, and so do you, I won't ever have to experience it. Because Jesus paid that price for me. Wow, what a gift. What a blessing. I don't have to go to bed at night and tremble in fear because it's paid for. It's settled. It's finished. You see, when I accepted Jesus, it blotted out my sins and cleansed me from anything and every act that could condemn us. That's the reason Paul said in Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Jesus." You see, if you're unsaved, the wrath of God abideth on you now. But if you're saved, there is therefore now no condemnation. The now of the wrath has been eliminated. Let me tell you, dear friend, if you're here today and you've never been saved, this is the best you'll ever know. Because after this life's over, it's hell. It's judgment. It's wrath beyond description. But Jesus died to deliver us from the condemnation of sin. Faith in Jesus Christ protects us and promises us that we're free from any future condemnation. Without Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're condemned already. Right now, we're condemned. And the wrath of God abides on us right now. We are just waiting to breathe our last breath. And then it'll be hell forever and forever. The very reason Jesus came to die on Calvary was to lift that condemnation from those who believe upon him and give us eternal, everlasting life. But God cannot do anything to save you or forgive you until you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He can do nothing. You're under the wrath of God until you accept Christ as your Savior. you are accepting the payment of God in Jesus Christ for your sins, aren't you? Oh, what kind of a person say, I don't want Jesus, I want hell. I want the wrath of God. You are seeking forgiveness of sin and salvation by accepting Christ, aren't you? What a wonderful gift. The alternative is condemned already and under the wrath of God forever. But this morning there awaits you a wonderful gift wrapped in the love of God. God is ready to save you. He's already made the payment for your sin debt. He's already purchased the gift of eternal life to give you. He's just waiting for you to say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I need you to save me. Would you please save me? It's just an invitation away. Lord, will you please save me? Oh, when he hears the sinner cry that prayer sincerely, the words may not be exactly right, but it moves God to apply all that Jesus has done on that old rugged cross to our sin, to pay for them, blot them out, forgive them, wash them away. And he has promised, all who come unto me, I'll not cast one out. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're not going to live with that condemnation, are you? You're not going to hold on to it and ignore your need of the Savior. You're not going to put him off and reject him, are you? No, not if we have one lick of sense. We're going to say, oh Lord, I need you. And Lord, I want you. Please save me today. And some of you need to do that very thing. Some of you are living lives of pretense. You've got the talk down. You know how to answer the questions, but your heart's empty. Jesus doesn't live in there. There's no renovation going on in your life because no salvation has taken place. And some of you know that you're not saved. And you need to be born again. Come and trust him today. He's not here to condemn you. He's here to forgive you. He's not here to cast you away. He's here to receive you. He stands with open arms saying, come. Come and I'll give you rest. Come, I'll give you salvation. Come, I'll forgive your sins. Come, I'll erase the condemnation through my Son, Jesus Christ. Father, that's our message, so simple.